Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Praskatya Desatarane. So first of all, I would like to apologize for not really having a very clear thoughts in mind of what to share with you about Lalita Devi. So if you will excuse me for something a little scattered, I will try to share with you some of the things that I have heard over the years of being in Vrindavan. Whilst listening to Maharaj speak, I was thinking that he had notes, so it was a little bit easier. And what could I add or present at a moment's notice? And then it came into my mind one book that I have read in the past and very much appreciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. The book is called Hansadutta. In this particular book, the subject matter is the intense mood of Srimati Radharani's feelings of separation from Krishna when he has left and gone to Mathura. One day, the gopis with Radharani are walking by the Jamuna and they see a pastime cottage which Radha and Krishna had met together at many times in the past. And seeing this beautiful place, Srimati Radharani falls down on the ground in a faint. Then Lalita Devi indicates to the other gopis and sakis that they should go very quickly to the Jamuna River and bring some water, while she herself places a piece of a small swab of cotton in front of Srimati Radharani's nostrils to see if she's actually even still alive. And when she sees that there is a faint movement of the fibers of the cotton, then she herself also goes to get some water to revive Srimati Radharani. When she reaches the shore of the Jamuna, she sees a beautiful, transcendentally charming white swan. And as soon as she sees this swan, she thinks to herself that this swan is a suitable carrier to take a message to Krishna in Mathura on behalf of Srimati Radharani. And Srila Rupa Goswami says that there is actually no fault on her behalf in mistaking this animal to be a messenger for Krishna, because one who has pure love for Krishna, it makes the soul innocent, and thus the soul, a soul who has pure love for Krishna, can trust everyone in the whole universe. So then she speaks her heart to this swan, first giving directions which route to take. You should fly this way, you can fly over these pastime places, but don't look at these ones, because if you see these places where Radha and Krishna met, then it will break your heart and you will not be able to present appropriately this message to Krishna. So then, in the course of this beautiful literature, Lalita Devi, she laments. And I was thinking when we were hearing of her quality, that she's very prakar. It means that many times she will intervene before Radha and Krishna. When Krishna comes to meet Radharani and he says so many charming words, but Lalita Devi will step forward and she will also instruct Radharani and say, don't be too easy to get. You should play very contrary. You should look away. Don't look at him so easily. Don't smile at him like that, because he's so untrustworthy. And so if you just easily fall into his hands when he tells you, I'm so sorry I'm late, there was a very good reason. My mother, she told me I had to stay home. And then there was a demon by Govardhan Hill and I had to do some work there. So I'm so sorry that I've come late to meet you. You should be very suspicious and you should not easily give in to Krishna and his various excuses and sweet words. So in this Hansa Dutta, Lalita Devi, she regrets that so many times, of course this is a transcendental emotion, not a material emotion where somebody makes a mistake and then they lament their error. But this is at the height of her transcendental mood of separation from Krishna. She laments and says, how many times did I stand in the way of your meeting with Krishna when the only thing that you wanted was actually to meet him? So Lalita Devi plays a very special part in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. She's like Srimati Radharani's Shiksha Guru. She can chastise her in various ways. She can chastise Krishna in different moods. She can challenge him. And all of this she does in a mood of complete and total service and love. So just recently, I had the good fortune to spend a short time at Jagannath Puri. And whilst we were there, we spent much time and effort reading from the Chaitanya Chaitamrita. So there we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very, very intimately connected in his Puri Leela with Srila Sarup Damodar. And Srila Sarup Damodar, it is said that he was like another Swarup of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was so careful and also, in fact, not so prakar, he was very silent and he kept many things deeply locked in his heart. But when Srila Rupa Goswami, who we all know as also in Krishna Lila, Srila Rupa Manjari, and as Maharaj was saying, is the servant, maidservant of Lalita Devi, when Srila Rupa Manjari, in the form of Rupa Goswami, came to Jagannath Puri and saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in front of the Rathyatra cart, and heard what he was speaking, heard what he was calling out, as in his mood of transcendental ecstatic love, then Srila Rupa Goswami, listening to this one verse that I think it was from Vidyapati, that Lord Chaitanya was speaking, which sounded like a lament between a young woman who is separated from her lover. Srila Rupa Goswami took this sentiment deep into his purified consciousness and he wrote one verse. He wrote it on a palm leaf and then he hid it in the thatch of his hut, in his cottage at Siddhabakul. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there, he saw this verse and he read it. And when he read this verse, it perfectly explained the inner moods of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are identical with this, the transcendental loving mood of separation of Srimati Radharani. And when he saw Rupa Goswami next, he slapped him very affectionately and he said, how does he understand? How did you understand my heart? And then he called Sarup Damodar there and he said, how does he, Rupa, understand my innermost sentiments that I have not spoken to anyone? And then Sri Sarup Damodar Goswami, he responded by saying, the only way that he could understand your deepest inner mood is if you have already bestowed your mercy upon him. Otherwise, there is no way. And then Lord Chaitanya said, yes, this is actually correct. When I met Sri Rupa in Prayag, I saw that he was a suitable person to give my mercy to. And so I bestowed my mercy upon him. So it is very profound to see the link between the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Swarup Damodar, Sri Rupa Goswami, and the residence of this eternal Sri Vrindavan Dham. And how, as Maharaj was saying, there is a process by which we can enter into these transcendental pastimes. And Srila Prabhupada himself was saying at his disappearance day, in the morning lecture, he spoke and he said, you cannot understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna unless your consciousness is purified, because you will think they are like the pastimes between ordinary boys and girls of this world. He said, we must go through the line of authority. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Padi Hoibe Akuti Kese Hama Bujabo Sri Jugala Priti. So this is, and then he went on to say, and then also the Guru Parampara, the disciplic succession. So this is, with all awareness of our own lack of qualification, this is our qualification, that we have been given any information or any good fortune by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And so I thank you very much for your patient hearing, and I thank Maharaj also for giving me an opportunity to remember some of these special qualities of Srimati Lalita Devi. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. So I was thinking, when I was hearing Satyananda Maharaj giving a nice warning to pay close attention, and I was thinking about what I said about the Mughala Bhagat, somebody just tried to say I'm an encyclopedia of something or other, but our Dr. Sarvabhauma Motibhava, he's an encyclopedia of incredible stories. So to bring these two together, I'll tell you an interesting story. There was one fisherman, not very high class person, fishing, you know, fisherman. So he was fishing in the river all night long. He didn't catch a single fish. Somehow he was throwing his nets and throwing it all night long. Then he looked over and he saw the big tank of the king. He said, you know, he'd been all night, it's early in the morning, no one's around. So he went over there to the tank of the king. And he threw his net, he caught a huge fish. So let me get another one. He threw his net, he caught another big fish. So he was going on like this, not paying that time was passing. Suddenly he looked in the distance, he saw a big elephant coming, a big procession, now the king's coming. Now what am I going to do? So he dug a big hole in the ground, he put all his fish in the hole in the ground, he put his basket on top of that, he put his blanket on top of that, and he sat down there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the king's procession was going by. Somehow a king was sitting on his elephant, he heard the sound of the holy name enter his ear. Hare? There's some saintly person here. You know, and of course, a fisherman, he covered himself with sand, you know, like the sadhus, they always do, so covered himself with sand. So he looked over, he saw sitting on this little mound on top of his blanket, he saw this, what appeared to be a little sadhu. So immediately he got down from his elephant, he went over, he paid his obeisances to the saint. He called his minister, he gave him 51 gold coins, like that, he put at his feet, like that. So all the followers of the king, they were coming behind. They saw the king offering so much respects. So somebody was giving 10 coins, somebody was giving 5 coins. Everybody who came behind, they were just giving him so many coins and so many coins like that. Then the procession went away. And the fisherman, he looked up, he said, oh my lord, if just by doing bogus bhajan I got like this, I can't imagine what would happen from real bhajan. So you should take Maharaj's warning to heart. You're in the most sacred place with the most wonderful spiritual master and so many wonderful devotees here to speak very, very, just by bogus. You saw what happened just by bogus, hearing bogus, doing bogus bhajan, you know. So, Mughala Bhagat. So imagine what would happen from seriously hearing Krishna Katha. So, just behind the Lalita Devi temple, there's a kund called Deha Kund. You know Deha. Every Goroku boy knows this verse, even if he's sound asleep, you know. So what is that verse from second chapter? Komaram jovanam jara tatha dehantara prati dirastatra namuyate. So we all know Deha means body. So what happened was here in this Unchagaon, there lived a very poor Brahmin. Just like me. And just like me, he had a very beautiful daughter of marriageable age. Of course, now I got mine married, so. But all of you understand that. Those who are not from India, they may understand that being very poor and having a beautiful daughter, this is a great anxiety. Because not only do you have to feed and clothe her and train her and you give her instruction and you teach her how to serve her husband for the rest of her life, like that, even she's going to serve her husband for the rest of her life, still to get married, you get her married, you have to give money. And the fathers, I know, they're very attached to their daughters. If they're unable to give to a proper husband, then they will suffer for the rest of their life. So this is big anxiety. But not like me. He had a wife whose tongue was like a razor blade. And she was always telling, what kind of Brahmin are you? Go collect some dan, get some donation, get your daughter married. What are you doing, you know? What kind of Brahmin are you? Can't collect any money. What are you? You're useless. One day she said, get out. I'm not cooking, I'm not cleaning, I'm not letting you back in the house until you get some dan and you arrange the marriage of your daughter. So then he thought what to do. So he went to Sri Sri Nandanandan, who was with Srimati Radhika and all the Sakis and Manjaris. He explained his problem to her. Nandanandan said, hey, what am I supposed to do? I'm just a cowherd boy here in the forest. All my money is with Baba there in Nandagam. He said, but I have one treasure. She is the only treasure I have in my whole life. I have one Priya. Now in British English, Priya means dear. So in British English, dear means something that's very expensive. Don't they say, oh, it is so dear. So he said, so I give you this Priya. And Krishna actually sipped water, he made sankalpa, and he gave Radharani in charity to that Brahmin. Then that Brahmin really began to cry. He said, first of all, I have one daughter. I can't even get her married. Now you give me a second one. Now my wife is going to kill me. Then Radharani, she looked at Krishna and said, but you know, even one second, I can't live. No, I've given you in charity to a Brahmin, I cannot touch. But you know, even one second, Shamsundar, one second, I can't live. No. Now I've given charity to a Brahmin. So then Radharani began to cry. Seeing Radharani cry, all the Sakis and Maranjaris began to cry, then Lord saw everybody's crying. What to do? See, this, all right, you bring one scale. Not like you have in your bathroom. No, this is that this type of scale. So, he put Srimati Radhika on one side, and he told all the Sakis and Manjaris, you just take all your bangles and earrings and necklaces and everything, you put it on the other side, and when all that gold and jewelry and everything weighed just as much as the Deha, this transcendental body of Srimati Radhika, then Thakurji gave all of that gold and silver and pearls and emeralds and rubies and everything, silver and gold, to that Brahmin. That Brahmin became very happy. Haribo, haribo! He ran up back here to Unchagaon to get his daughter married. Then Radharani became very happy. All the Sakis became very happy. Krishna, in one stroke, he made everyone very happy. Oh, Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan Aki!
Very good.
So, one more thing, just as everyone is saying, we're here in Lalita Sakhi's place. We saw she keeps Radharani under her control. So Rupa Goswami, in his Lalitastakam, he says, Radharani is under your control. If somehow or other I can please you, then you can give me Srimati Radharani's mercy, so I don't have to go anywhere else. And Maharaj so nicely mentioned that if she even sees a whiff, she even gets a scent of a smell of somebody who came to Braj and wants to serve Krishna, then Lalita Sakhi just tries to encourage that person. So we're here in this holy place, we should take advantage and be, you know, just pray for the mercy of Lalita Sakhi in this place. She can give us Radharani. Sometimes the devotees ask, did I explain to you why we do this? No. Sometimes the devotees ask, why do you do like that? There's actually Shastra Praman. That to get something from a deep place, you need a hook. So this body is like a deep well. And it's filled with mountains and mountains of pap, sin. So this ra, Akshar, he's very crooked. Even this R in English, you know, R, he's more like a hook. And when you say Ra, that sound, according to music shastra, that sound goes down. Huh? When you say it, Ra, Ra, you can feel it goes down. Huh? So you hook onto all this, and then Ra, Dhe. Now this Dhe, this is one of those aspirated consonants, Akshar, huh? So you say, hey, it's coming out, and that sound, you say, hey! You can feel it's going up. Radhe Shyam Ma. When you say this Ma Akshara, then this becomes closed. Now you pulled it all out, don't let it come back. Now don't let it come back.